It's time for a Friday fight segment, and we are talking again with Nick Baldwin from The Score. And Nick, how are we doing today?
I'm doing well, Derek. How about yourself?
Doing well, doing well. There's, a lot to get into in a week that had a, fight night at the Apex, and an upcoming fight night that also will have, be at the Apex as well. So I guess, first of all, Nick, let's talk about Steve Garcia and David Onama to start things off here in like a positive note, I guess, from a Garcia perspective anyway. Garcia, obviously, makes quick work of Onama there, and just kind of the way that he operates there, if he doesn't get him early, it's going to be tough for him to kind of, hang on for five rounds. So he went out there and got him in 334. What were your takeaways from what you saw from Garcia and kind of what that does for him in the featherweight division?
Yeah, I mean, Steve Garcia looked tremendous, and David Onama did not look tremendous, but that's the way, fights go sometimes. Steve Garcia put on a great performance, and he did what he needed to do, and then some. I think this was the type of win, even though Onama isn't, a super highly ranked opponent, I think this is the type of win that puts him in the conversation at the very least. I don't think we're talking about Steve Garcia as a title contender just yet, but he's kind of approaching that conversation. And, I think we're at the point now where we're starting to realize, okay, Steve Garcia could maybe be a guy that's in the top five fighting for titles down the road. I think coming up in the UFC, we didn't really look at him that way, but he's starting to prove people otherwise. And this was another big win. He called for a shot at the BMF title. He's talking about fighting Josh Emmett. I think whichever direction the UFC goes, I think big things are in store for him. And I mean, at this point, we're really only talking about a couple fights, a couple wins away from a title shot. So again, he's not there yet, but he's on a great path, and he's well on his way to being one of the best 145ers in the world.
Mm-hmm. Nick, I don't know. I guess I'll ask your opinion on in terms of, how important is an in-ring call out in advancing careers? I listen to Mike Keck from MMA Fighting, quite a bit. And he, believes that is paramount in advancing, and believes also, Bilal Muhammad is a guy who has been hurt by his, wrong call outs or, whatever it may be. And so, Steve Garcia calling for Max Holloway was seen as not a very good call out given, Holloway is, he doesn't fight featherweight anymore. So I guess maybe the assumption would be Garcia would move up to lightweight and do that. But I don't even think he's in the running for that because Holloway and Charlie Oliveira are, pretty much set to, fight for that BMF next. Now, I know he did get a second chance. He did say Josh Emmett, that was a lot better. But, what are your opinions on how that affects the advancement of fighters' careers? They don't always get what they want, but if you make the right call out, generally you will get, put in a pretty good light.
Well, and that's just it. You see occasionally someone will get on the mic and call for an opponent that just makes too much sense. And right there, Dana White basically says, yeah, we can do that fight. Historically, typically, he doesn't make fights the night of. He always says, call me on Tuesday sort of thing. But if it makes sense and if it sounds fun and it sounds like it's, we'll sell tickets and get fans excited. Sometimes, as you said, not too often, but once in a while, they will actually make that fight and basically grant you your wish. But on the flip side, if you don't have a name ready, or if you have, even worse, a really bad call out, just one that makes no sense, maybe you're ranked, 15th in the world and you're calling out the champion, which, is just a waste of time, or maybe you're ranked in the top 10 and you're calling out, a guy from the prelims, that doesn't make sense either. If your call out doesn't make sense, it's almost worse than not, having a name, just because, people look at that and kind of say, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. This guy, it's just a waste of time. And it might even leave, a bit of a bad taste in people's mouths. Now, ultimately, what you say on the mic isn't quite as important as what you do in the cage. You can deliver, epic results in the cage and maybe, falter a little bit in your post-fight interview, and it's not going to, change your career or ruin your career. But, look at Conor McGregor. If you are good on the mic, if you know what to say, and if you know what names to call out at the right time, that can be beneficial to some degree as you move forward.
How about another call out from Saturday? Waldo Cortez Acosta beats Ante Delija, whatever it is, and beats him by KO in the first round after getting poked in the eye and deciding to continue, which of course was topical considering Tom Aspinall, who's a teammate of Waldo's opponent from Saturday. And of course, Tom did not continue against Ciryl Gane. We don't have to rehash that. We talked about that last week. Waldo gets on the mic and says, "This is how you do it. I want you, Tom Aspinall." Now, that's not going to happen. I found it more funny than anything. And also, perfect because it was off of the eye poke, and he's not going to get Tom next, but maybe if he wins another fight, that call out right there not necessarily made any sense or whatever, but maybe one more fight, one more win could do it.
Yeah, no, it was a big win for Waldo Cortez Acosta, coming off that loss to Sergey Pavlovich. And Ante Delija, this is a guy that kind of came into the UFC a few months ago with a bit of hype, a former PFL heavyweight champion, and won his debut in dominant fashion. And I kind of thought, with the current state of the heavyweight division, Ante Delija, would have a chance at maybe running to the top pretty quickly, not necessarily, being the champion or being the number one or two contender in the world, but being in the mix. And Waldo Cortez Acosta, after a rough start and an eye poke and all the adversity you could pretty much imagine, manages to gut it out and get the knockout. So big win for Waldo. Still don't think he's, super close to anything huge in the division. I think we kind of saw his ceiling against Pavlovich. I mean, Pavlovich obviously has had his own losses, but regardless, I mean, heavyweight is a super shallow division right now, and it doesn't take a whole lot to kind of go from non-contender to contender. And so you never know with Waldo, if he puts one or two more together, we could be talking about him as a title contender as well.
Nick Baldwin, Friday Fights from The Score, and of course there were there was some controversy coming from the UFC fight night this past weekend as well, and it came from a rather kind of a unassuming fight, I suppose. Isaac Dolgarian fighting Yadier Davale in a featherweight matchup there in the main card, and it was the third fight of the main card, and suddenly there was some weird kind of movement on the line in terms of the Las Vegas line when it came to Dolgarian, who was like a minus 280 or something. I think it just flipped down for like 120, 130 points that he would lose in the first round. And he went out there and got a rear naked, I mean, he lost via rear naked choke in the first round. And so that's been flagged. I believe Dolgarian has been released. There has been a lot of stuff, a lot of talk going on in terms of what's going to happen from that. Some potential talk about the books giving money back on Dolgarian bettors, and I guess when it comes down to it, it's more than fishy. There's a lot of smoke here. There's fire here.
There is. This is a crazy story, and this is a big story in the sport right now. And I think, we're going to see the domino effect to some degree. There was a big story, a big betting scandal in UFC 3 years ago with James Krause, Derek Minner, even Jeff Molina was kind of part of that as well. Where the investigation is still ongoing. Now, Minner and Molina and Krause were all suspended by the Nevada Commission, but essentially it seemed like Minner had an injury going in, and there were some bets placed on him to lose, and that's kind of how that went. After that happened, though, it felt like in a matter of weeks, maybe not weeks but months, people didn't necessarily forget about it, but kind of moved on, and we didn't really hear much about the aftermath of that, or there didn't seem to be a domino effect. But in this case, because it's the second time, and it just feels like this is going to lead to more. I know Errol Hawani of Yahoo Sports, of Uncrowned, he kind of reported that, this is not an isolated event, that there's more to it. And I don't know what that is, obviously. I don't know if anybody does right now, but it's kind of a wait and see. But I think there'll be a domino effect because we've already seen other fighters come out and claim that they've been approached in the past about throwing fights. Some of those fighters have since come out and said, oh, they were joking, which could be true, but maybe they're trying, maybe their manager said, why are you posting about this? Let's spin it off as a joke. So take it with a grain of salt, I suppose. But it seems like this is a bigger issue than anyone could have imagined. I think this is crazy. I mean, just the fact that people are potentially throwing fights, and again, I think this is very much an innocent until proven guilty situation. But Dana White said it the other day, it's not looking great. And I mean, Isaac Dolgarian obviously already released from the UFC. They just want nothing to do with having him on board at this time. And his former gym, Factory X, has been facing a ton of scrutiny in the past week. Their head coach, Mark Montoya, did a long interview with Helwani, just kind of saying, we're not behind this. We have nothing to do with this. So they're maintaining their innocence. It's just crazy from all angles, crazy situation. Obviously the FBI is now investigating, and that's going to take potentially years. And so I don't have any more answers than pretty much anybody else does. I think it's very much a wait and see situation, as I said, but this is not going to be the last we've heard of this. I think we'll be talking about this for a long time, and it wouldn't surprise me if more of these situations come to light, either ones that have yet to happen and will happen, or this might lead to the UFC and to their, to the organizations that work with UFC and these other sports leagues, to verify, fair gambling and all that. We could start looking back on old fights and trying to see, was this potentially a fixed fight or a thrown fight? I think, crazy times in the sporting world, in the UFC world, and I think this is only the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree. All right, Nick, let's move on to this upcoming weekend. I mentioned it's a UFC Apex event again, and looking at this card versus last week's card, and there was conversations last week about potentially this being the worst UFC fighting card ever, and now they're kind of throwing this one in the mix too. There are a lot more, I guess, passing the Wikipedia test this week, whereas there are a lot more links to these fighters, especially in the preliminary card. But it is headlined by Gabriel Bonfim against Randy Brown in a welterweight matchup. Bonfim had a whole bunch of momentum, 15-0, lost to Nicholas Dalby. That was in November 2023, but he's since returned it. He's won his last three, including a really nice win over Wonderboy via split decision against Randy Brown, who is always a lot of fun to watch fights, and one of the tallest welterweights you're going to see as well there at 6'3". Coming off a win over Mr. Nicholas Dalby. So I think this one's interesting. Maybe not necessarily a main event fight, but definitely a main event Apex fight from what, relatively speaking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as you said, it's not a blockbuster, but you know what? Gabriel Bonfim has shown a lot of potential in the welterweight division. He is coming off, I believe, a win over Stephen Wonderboy Thompson, which mm-hmm. is a big, feather in the cap, if you will, even though Wonderboy is, past 40 and maybe not in his prime anymore. That's still a big win. Randy Brown, as you said, always fun. And this is kind of the fight that could finally get Randy Brown over that hump. I believe he's maybe been ranked inside the top 15 once or twice, just barely kind of. He's, for the most part, always been just on the outside looking in. He's always been that guy that has felt with one more win or two more wins, he could kind of crack that top 10, top 15, become a contender, make a run, and it's always, win a couple, lose one, win a few, lose one. At least that's the way it seems with his career. Bonfim is a top 15 fighter. Some may not realize that. I believe he's 13 or 14 right now in the division. So theoretically, a win over him puts Brown in that spot. So not, the highest stakes, compared to UFC main events. But honestly, I'm kind of intrigued by this fight. I think Bonfim has a lot of potential, and I think Brown also has the potential to kind of to ruin that and steal his thunder a little bit. So looking forward to it. Think it's a fun style matchup as well, and probably or should be a good way to end off this Apex card.
Yeah, Bonfim is rated 14th, as you alluded to there. Randy Brown, by the way, his only losses since 2021 have come to Jack Della Maddalena, who we know pretty well, and then Brian Battle, who they were in a catch weight. Battle missed weight, believe it or not. He's no longer in the UFC due to that reason. But So those are the only two losses for Brown. I mean, he's had a lot of winning. Looking at the co-main, Matt Schnell against Joseph Morales in the flyweight division, welterweight feature fight Muslim Salikov against Uros Medic, and then you got Chris Padilla against Ismael Bonfim. Of course, there's where there's one Bonfim, there's another one, and then Christian Leroy Duncan against Marco Tullio and the rest of that main card. What are your thoughts on the rest of the main card and kind of, you know, maybe what stands out there?
Yeah, I mean, rest of the main card is fine. Nothing to necessarily be super stoked about. However, Muslim Salikov, you know, this is, you know, he's an awesome fighter. He's 41 years old, excuse me, and he's, you know, coming off these epic knockout wins. He knocked out Kanan Song last November, knocked out Carlos Leal as a pretty big underdog in July, 42 seconds only into the first round. So I think Salikov, you know, just such a cool story in the welterweight division right now. He's kind of he's been around for a long time, has never really been a contender, but has always been you know, a fun guy to watch, and he always delivers. So looking forward to him. Yeah, I mean, the rest of the card is fine. Always enjoy Ricky Simon. He's on the prelims against Rioni Barcelos, which actually should be a pretty fun fight. And you know, a few longtime women's contenders, Myra Bueno Silva is fighting, and Tisha Pennington, formerly Tisha Torres, is in action. Miles Johns, top to bottom, you know, not the worst card we've seen. And as people like to say, sometimes these apex cards are the ones that deliver.
It's kind of interesting. You know, you mentioned Bueno Silva being on the Apex preliminary, just, you know, three fights after she fought for the women's bantamweight championship. So I don't know. I mean, generally, that's quite a fall there, isn't it, Nick?
It is crazy, and I think if anything, it just kind of goes to show the UFC, you know, the guys that put the bout orders together, the bout lineups together, sometimes they make questionable decisions. And I'm not even saying that like this is a horrible call to have, you know, Bueno Silva on the prelims, but it is kind of crazy to see, you know, go from a pay-per-view co-main in a title fight to, as you said, Apex prelims. Not necessarily her fault, but it is what it is.
Well, let's get through this Apex event and then UFC 322 on deck. Nick Baldwin again, Friday fight segment from The Score. Nick, thanks a lot for the time. We really appreciate it, and enjoy the fights, all right?
You too, Derek. Thanks.